Good morning. This is Dallas Townsend with the CBS World News Roundup. The purge has begun in Iran of high-ranking officers left over from the Shah's regime. The new government of Prime Minister Mehdi Bazargan announced this morning that four senior generals, among them the head of the Shah's secret police, were tried last night by a secret tribunal. They were found guilty of crimes including torture, massacre, treason, and corruption. Immediately afterward, the four were executed by firing squad. Prime Minister Bazargan says more such trials will take place. He also says he will seize all of the Shah's properties inside Iran. Full-scale emergency evacuation of Americans from Iran is due to begin tomorrow, and Richard Wagner reports that some Americans departed this morning.
With the U.S. Embassy saying it can no longer protect Americans in Iran, a chartered jet almost full of evacuated Americans has left Tehran. But a snag has developed in the evacuation process. At Mehrabad Airport this morning, there was a problem for 15 or 20 Americans who thought they were leaving Iran. Their residency visas had expired, and rather than surrender their passports in the troubled last days of the previous government, they were advised to hold on to their passports and not try to renew their visas. But today, officials of the new government would not allow Americans with expired residency visas to leave. With no functioning foreign ministry here, there's no place for these people to renew their visas, so they can't leave. It's a kind of Iranian catch-22, but the Khomeini Committee is saying it will try to help. Richard Wagner, CBS News, Tehran.
Among those hoping to leave soon is Mrs. Pari Fulham. She talked this morning with CBS News correspondent Betsy Aaron.
I'm very, very sad to leave my country because it'll always be my country, and I'm married to an American, but I will always consider myself an Iranian citizen.
Why are you moving out?
Right now I don't feel that my family is very safe. You know, when my husband leaves the house, I'm always worried, and if he doesn't call me every hour, I'm petrified. Because you never know who's out there. Of course, the Ayatollah's people are very, very protective. They've already given Mark a telephone number that anything happens to contact him, and they will come and protect us. But everybody's armed now, even children have guns, and so when people are armed, you don't know who's out there.
Mrs. Fulham's husband, Mark, has been in Iran for 13 years. Now they're ready to get out with their two children. Final tributes will be paid in Afghanistan today to Adolf Dubs, the American ambassador who was killed this week in a shootout between his guerrilla captors and Afghan security forces. Don Kladstrup has details in Kabul.
A presidential plane carrying Marianne Dubs, wife of the slain ambassador, arrived in Kabul this afternoon. With Mrs. Dubs were a brother and sister of the ambassador, some close family friends, and several State Department officials. Mrs. Dubs was crying as she came off the plane. She was embraced by a close friend and then escorted to a waiting car, which took her to the ambassador's residence. A memorial service for her husband will be held there this evening, and tomorrow his body will be flown back to Washington. There is still confusion and a great deal of agitation over the circumstances surrounding Dubs' death. Embassy officials say they cannot understand why Afghan authorities ignored their pleas not to use force to free the ambassador. And there is still a question about why Dubs was kidnapped in the first place and who the abductors were. The Afghan government has said the terrorists were enemies of the people, nothing more. And the government says it had no choice about storming the hotel where Dubs was being held. But American diplomatic sources say they are highly skeptical. Don Kladstrup, CBS News, Kabul.
President Carter holds final talks today with Mexico's President Jose López Portillo before flying back to Washington. CBS News White House correspondent Robert Pierpoint has the story in Mexico City.
The two presidents are breakfasting together this morning for their third private meeting in what appears to be an improving relationship. The first day, Mr. Carter received a cool welcome and a public lecture on the sins of the United States against Mexico. But after the discussions the two men and their aides held yesterday, Secretary of State Vance told CBS News that things had gone very well. López Portillo agreed with President Carter that the United States is the natural customer for Mexico's oil and gas. And one source said it now appears the two men may reach agreement today on a pattern for future development in just that direction. The Mexican president did not agree to reduce trade barriers as much as President Carter would like, but both sides agreed to move in that direction. Even the touchy illegal immigration issue was discussed, with more understanding than before of each other's viewpoints. As one official put it to CBS News, we are making progress, more than we might have expected after that initial cool reception. Robert Pierpoint, CBS News, Mexico City.
But if any major development is at hand in the Mexico City talks, David Dow reports that there was no hint of it last night in a toast by Lopez Portillo at a state dinner hosted by President Carter.
The Mexican leader said the major issues between the two countries had been brought up in their talks, but he added, "We have not opened up the road to their solution." As he did in a toast Wednesday, Lopez Portillo again lectured Mr. Carter, this time on what he called the serious matter that many Mexicans who go to the U.S. are so poor that they must sell themselves. President Carter, for his part, defended Americans.
The people of the United States are fair and decent people in their relationships with each other and in dealing with people of other nations.
Some observers feel that Lopez Portillo's public rhetoric may be for home consumption, that in private, progress is being made. After his final discussions with the Mexican president this morning, Mr. Carter will address the nation's Congress, then return home. David Dow, CBS News, with the president in Mexico City.
Before last night's dinner, Presidents Carter and Lopez Portillo and their wives attended a concert of the Mexican Symphony Orchestra conducted by Leonard Bernstein. Representatives of South Korea and North Korea will meet tomorrow at the Panmunjom Truce Village, hoping to agree on a new approach to the issue of reunification. Bruce Dunning reports from Seoul.
It will be the highest level direct meeting between the two sides in more than 5 years. No one in Seoul has much hope of this being the beginning of meaningful negotiations, but both sides appear to be anxious to start talking to one another again, even though they are bitterly divided and far apart in ideology. This return to the meeting table was inspired by the normalization of diplomatic relations between the United States and China, just as the first attempts of the two Koreas to meet in 1972 were inspired by former President Nixon's visit to China. So four men from each side will sit down at a table at Panmunjom, a table that straddles the dividing line between the two halves of Korea. The North wants to organize an all-nation Congress to discuss reunification. The South believes this would merely be a vehicle for propagandizing and would be too unwieldy for fruitful discussion. Despite the vast differences, however, there's one thing both sides agree on. Reunification of this divided land is a powerful dream shared by virtually all Koreans. Bruce Dunning, CBS News, Seoul.
Defense Secretary Harold Brown ended his talks with Israeli leaders today and flew to Cairo, last stop on his current Middle East tour. Next Wednesday at Camp David, those countries will resume talks at the ministerial level. The United States today formally yielded control of its two most important military installations in the Philippines. We'll hear about it from Gabby Tabanyar in Manila.
The turnover of the installations is in accordance with a recently amended basis treaty between the two countries. The agreement allows the United States to continue using Clark Air Base and Subic Bay Naval Base. The new treaty recognizes full Philippine sovereignty over these bases. At ceremonies marking the turnover, President Marcos called the event the final phase of the Philippine quest for self-determination.
We then celebrate this moment as a final act of triumph. Triumph, perhaps, for the dignity of the Filipino people, but triumph for the American principles and ideals of fairness, freedom, and justice. It is a triumph of both the Filipino people and the American people.
Marcos has appointed Filipino commanders to run the bases. However, American military facilities inside the bases remain under U.S. control. In exchange for the use of these facilities, the United States will extend military aid to the Philippines amounting to $500 million over a period of 5 years, after which the basis treaty will be reviewed. Gabby Tabunyar for CBS News, Manila.
The United States dollar gained slightly in Tokyo today, closing a fraction of a yen above yesterday's close. The American currency also registered slight advances in Western Europe, while the price of gold declined more than a dollar an ounce in both London and Zurich.
Newsbreak. This is Reed Collins reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Getting out.
We've met some very fine people over inside here. And
just one of these things.
Americans en route from Tehran. A Pan American Airways 707 lifted off from the runway at Tehran early today. As it rose above the trouble, so did American hopes for a bloodless farewell to Iran. There were more than 160 aboard this morning's flight, headed for Frankfurt and then the United States. Some left with a tinge of regret.
Would you come back?
Sure.
Yes.
You bet.
We've met some very kind people over inside here.
Mm-hmm.
And
just one of these things.
Would you like to stay now? I think possibly I would like to see the situation clarified a little bit more.
Among the things needing clarification this morning, the precise attitude of Ayatollah Khomeini toward the American evacuation. Several Americans whose papers were not in order were not allowed to leave on this morning's flight. Presumably tomorrow, the Khomeini government will relax when the major airlift is to get underway. Among those deciding to get out is American Mark Fulham, married to an Iranian with twin daughters.
And I think that we'll have to rethink our approach to working with the people of Iran in a new government. I think that perhaps changing governments necessitate changing philosophies on our side. We'll have to give these people the opportunity to ask us for what they want from us, not tell them what we want to give them.
In a room in Orlando, Florida this morning, there is a ham radio operator named Charles Waters. Due to an atmospheric skip phenomenon, Waters is able to talk to two ham operators in Tehran, or was able. Waters has been relaying government messages, and now there's a big stack of private messages piled up, too, from Iranians in America, from Americans with relatives and friends there. Waters is having trouble raising Tehran this morning. He knows that one transmitter has shut down.
That is Mike Sandel over there. He works for the United Nations there. He's EP2LI, and he had a very nice antenna. He was one of our loudest contacts continuously out of Iran, Tehran. But they were going around commencing last week the revolutionary forces and also a splinter group going from house to house looking for Americans, looking for arms, and looking for radios. And of course, anytime you see a big antenna up in the air, why, they knew that on the other end of that antenna would be a radio. So he disassembled that, took it down, and I understand now he has strung up in a rather secret way a long wire antenna that can't be seen very well. He's strung it in such a manner that anybody riding up and down the streets there looking would probably overlook it. So he was on the air, but now he is off the air, too.
And so, from his transmitting site in Orlando, Florida, Waters continues to call his sources in Tehran. Thus far, no response. And now, this.
This season, Andy Cranin will suffer the miseries of a cold or flu. What will he do for relief? What his boss recommends? What his friend recommends? Or what doctors recommend? Well, for those aches and fever, what's in Bayer is what doctors recommend most. Bayer is 100% pure aspirin, nothing more. And millions use Bayer with no stomach upset. So when you get a cold or flu, remember, rest, fluids, and Bayer aspirin. For aches and fever, what's in Bayer is what doctors recommend most. Use only as directed.
Newsbreak. Reed Collins, CBS News.
CBS News. President Carter addressed Mexico's parliament this morning, but differences remain in Mexico City, and the two presidents will meet again, possibly this summer. I'm Richard C. Hottle at reporting on the CBS Radio Network. President Carter's trip to Mexico is nearing an end, and so far his talks with President López Portillo have been frank, to say the least. The chief bones of contention are energy, trade, and the problem of illegal aliens. López Portillo has been blunt in expressing his views to President Carter. An unscheduled breakfast meeting was held by the two leaders today, and later Mr. Carter addressed the Mexican Chamber of Deputies. David Dow reports from Mexico City.
President Carter and Mexican President José López Portillo apparently came to no concrete agreements on the major issues between their two countries. But the U.S. President told Mexico's Congress that they had, as he put it, begun to define a common vision of a better future. A future, he said, in which more trade flows between Mexico and the U.S. and legal migration is heavy in both directions. The President delivered his speech in Spanish.
Difficult problems remain, especially in the areas of trade, energy, and migration. Each of these issues defies easy solution. Now, and for years to come, each of these questions will require our best efforts to narrow our differences and to find common ground.
There was no hint as to whether the two presidents paved the way for U.S. purchase of Mexican natural gas. The Carter administration vetoed such a deal a year ago, angering officials here. After his speech, Mr. Carter departed for the airport to fly back to Washington. David Dow, CBS News, Mexico City.
In his address, Mr. Carter said he and President Lopez Portillo have agreed to meet again to review progress made and problems remaining. More news after this.
Back even before the automobile was invented, a tradition began that continues to this very day, the Pennzoil tradition of quality and performance. If you want some solid evidence of that Pennzoil tradition, just take a minute to consider the advantages of the newest member of the Pennzoil family, Pennzoil PZL. Pennzoil PZL is the Pennzoil that saves gasoline. It was developed by Pennzoil scientists to be a motor oil that can actually allow a car's engine to run easier so you can go farther on a gallon of gasoline. In addition, Pennzoil PZL is a long-life motor oil, so you can go farther between oil changes. These important benefits of Pennzoil PZL, the fact that it saves you gasoline and oil changes, make it a worthy addition to the Pennzoil family of quality lubricants. Pennzoil PZL is in a bright yellow Pennzoil can with big silver letters that say PZL. Ask for it and join the Pennzoil tradition of quality.
More than 160 Americans, including employees of Pan American Airlines, were flown out of Iran today. It was the first plane load of Americans to leave since the U.S. Embassy urged U.S. citizens remaining in the country to leave. The craft was protected by Ayatollah Khomeini's forces. Plans are in effect for evacuation of more Americans beginning tomorrow. Iran's former secret police chief and three other generals were shot before a firing squad today at the headquarters of Ayatollah Khomeini. There are reports of 26 other officials and officers to be executed. The revolutionary government claims to have put down anti-Khomeini forces in the city of Tabriz in the north. Unconfirmed reports put the toll there at 700 dead and thousands wounded. China and Vietnam today exchanged more protests and recriminations about the clashes along their common border. In Peking, China published a formal protest against what it called Hanoi's armed provocations, assaults, and killings, specifically charging the killing of 14 Chinese and the shooting up of two trains on Chinese territory between February 8th and 12th. At UN headquarters in New York, Vietnam's ambassador told a press conference that China is, in his words, making frenzied preparations for war, which could have incalculable consequences.